Welcome to Spokane Public Radio's Music That Matters, an hour dedicated to the sounds that form, comfort, and entertain us, our music that matters. I'm host and producer Jim Tevenin. This week on our Opus 11, we welcome Archie Chen and Rona Gouldson Chen. Married with two children and currently living in Spokane, Archie and Rona are partners. In life, in their performances as a piano duo, and as music educators, teaching students in the Spokane area and internationally through their leadership of and work with the Piano Academy of Ireland and the Dublin International Piano Festival and Summer Academy. Archie and Rona visited our KPBX studio recently to share their thoughts on matters musical and, of course, to play. We begin with a truly charming piece, Edvard Grieg's Norwegian Dance No. 2. This is Archie Chen. Music of Edvard Grieg, played in our KPBX performance studio by Archie Chen, my guest, along with Rona Gouldson Chen, on this Opus 11 of Music That Matters from Spokane Public Radio. In 2004, Rona founded the Dublin-based Piano Academy of Ireland. Part of the philosophy that has guided the Academy is Rona's belief in music's healing power, its ability to bring balance to student, performer, and listener.
I think that's something we're always trying to achieve, is to find more balance in our lives. I've actually had a very personal interest in Chinese philosophy for the longest time. And when, as a young teacher of piano, as a hobby, I studied both acupuncture and Chinese philosophy, of all things. And within that philosophy, they constantly speak about yin and yang, opposite or contrary forces that may actually be complementary, like summer and winter, light and dark, fire and water, those sort of things. And every day, unconsciously, we're choosing things that are more yin or more yang. Sometimes we want something salty or sweet, or we'll choose a hot beverage versus a cold beverage, and this sort of thing. It's often our body's instinct to balance that yin or yang. And then on another level, many of us are trying to achieve that balance in our lifestyle. So being able to remain peaceful and calm as a person, and while at the same time being tough enough to be able to live in the fast-paced world, which is the yang side. So I have to say, having spent much of my earlier life with my more yin side developed, turning to the world of business quickly developed my more yang side, which I didn't realise I had, to keep business going. You know, you need a passion in order to, for the business to be successful, but you also need a tougher skin. And so it's always that constant balancing and fluctuating between the two.
How do you see this as a part of, or in what ways do you see this as a part of your running of the Piano Academy and the Piano Festival?
Yes, so, well, I can certainly say that, you know, like all of us who are drawn to careers in music, I think we have always, we have that one thing in common. So somewhere within our youth, as a student of music, it could have been as an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old, or it doesn't matter what the age, there was a moment, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, where something magical happened, where we realised that what you do in performing a lovely, beautiful piece of music can have a direct effect on the listeners and can instantly change the way people feel. So the effect is that quick. And it's then that you realise amongst the chaos in the world that what you do actually really, really matters. And that, you know, you actually wouldn't be doing anything else. And so as performers and teachers of music, obviously we're involved in both aspects. We're all a part of that healing process of the planet, you know. So along with other activities like, you know, spending time with our children, which is also the yin side, is the softer side. It's where you can just be your true self and allow the heart to really open up and let the love flow through the music. So you see, it's our natural state and we all have it and we were born with it. But as we grow, we can lose that part of ourselves.
And it's something that's especially needed in these times with everything that's going on, not the least of which is COVID-19. And here you both are sitting with me in Spokane, and you do have your own teaching responsibilities and performing responsibilities here, but as well, the Piano Academy is still going. How is it running?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, surprisingly, it's going quite well. Everybody, I think, is quite stretched, but pretty well, I have to say. It's going well. There's kind of a harshness, though, to the cruel world of business, in a sense. You know, despite what unrealistic images people have of us just sitting at a piano bench all day and playing sweet music, you know, but even when you're able to make a living out of something as noble as teaching music and what has been your passion, and you know, it's certainly been a real privilege to be able to do what you love every single day. But the harsh reality is that, passion or not, one is selling a product, you're dealing with people, you're solving problems, sometimes difficult ones, you're sitting for hours and hours in front of a screen, dealing with parents, some of which are unreasonable, and even staff, some of which are unreasonable too. Most of them are lovely though, and the huge responsibility that comes just with running a school. People do constantly look to you always for your excellent leadership, and I suppose no better example than the reopening of our school during the pandemic, having been closed for 6 months during the spring and summer. And that school, as you say, happens to be across the Atlantic in a different time zone. It takes quite a bit of considerable organisation and management. So I suppose, yeah, the stress levels have been at their highest lately, for sure.
I can certainly only imagine that that's...
Yeah.
Because if it's in your house or just a short commute away, that's one thing. But just in terms of feeling that you are really on top of that situation, given the fact that it's an 8-hour plus plane ride between here and there, it must really crank up the stress level quite a bit. So it seems as though you really do, maybe even more so, need this balance in your life, the yin-yang. Mm-hmm. Do you find that's the case?
Yes, we have a fantastic team of teachers there, about 11 of us, including Archie and me. As the COVID cases began to rise during August, we all got together and sat down to discuss how to proceed this year. Everybody was involved And we agreed that while following all the safety measures and distancing, et cetera, we would really like to do some in-person teaching. So they're in fact all doing a combination of both in-person and online. Then, of course, the COVID cases have, you know, spiked again, and the government 6 weeks ago skipped from level 3 to level 5. So we've moved everything to online again. So there's always this fluctuation. So yes, back to the yin and yang. One of the big problems is that one can lose one's true essence in what brought that passion to the surface in the first place. It's not business, but was joy, the joy and connectedness that one feels when performing. So rewinding to when we were playing music in our youth, when you were truly in the moment, and in a sense, it also boils down to choice. So within a performance itself, you always have a choice as to what you will play. And so if you choose uplifting music, the kind with the good vibrations, music that uplifts you, that heals you, makes you smile, makes you laugh out loud, or simply transports you to another world, it has the power to instantly change the emotional state of the person listening. And I still find that concept utterly fascinating, and it's such a gift. And so it is a responsibility, in fact, to choose the kind of music that uplifts. Because I guess we've all felt that darkness and negativity in some of that heavy rock that we might be hearing our neighbours play, or you might hear a bit of it someplace. And I think we all have the ability, therefore, to heal and to change a person's emotional state. So I think we all could do with a little more lightness and fun and laughter these days.
And pianist Rona Gouldson Chen closes this part of Music That Matters with a piece called Woodbrook.
Woodbrook was composed by the Irishman Micheál O'Sullivan, which is the Irish for Michael O'Sullivan. He died, sadly, in 2018. And I had the privilege of hearing him perform that very piece live just once, about 20 years ago. He was a pianist and composer, recording artist and an academic. He held the professorship of music at the Irish World Academy of Music and Dance, which is part of the University of Limerick, and he set that up in 1994. But O'Sullivan's own music was inspired by the legendary Sean O'Riordan, and from his first encounters with the composers in the 1960s, he began to relish the adrenaline rush in the energy field between classical and traditional Irish music. So his music uses traditional and original melodies, while his skill and influence as a piano player was also pretty significant. But he developed a style of playing traditional tunes on the piano that was quite new, with incredible dexterity in his ability to play traditional ornaments, as you will hear in Woodbrook, which brought him wide recognition. So you'll hear some of that very floral ornamentation amidst long flowing phrases. And it's a style that's unusual to pull off on the piano, not something you... that touch that you need. It's quite unique. And you can also hear some of the hard shoes and the soft shoes from Irish traditional Irish dancing in there. I was just picking up on that just in the last few days.
Woodbrook, by Michael O'Sullivan, played by Rona Gouldson Chen. As we moved toward a set of piano duets, I asked Archie about partnership and artistry. You have this intense togetherness that covers all aspects of your life. Do you find that it all works together for you?
Definitely. I mean, music brings us together in more ways than one. And I think, you know, the success of our duo is due to three factors. Our love, this innate musical chemistry between the two of us, and also our shared mission for music's role in society. You know, as husband and wife, we feel so fortunate to be making music together for a living. The Brahms and Dvorak are kind of a pair for us because in the late 1800s, you know, the piano was the home entertainment center, and Dvorak certainly took advantage of that when he composed his two sets of Slavonic dances for piano duet in 1886. It was Edward Hanslick who wrote to Dvorak to tell him that Johannes Brahms had taken a great interest in your fine talent. And as a result of that letter, it instantly gave him a little ego boost. And I think it was a potential career making in the long run for Dvorak, as he and Brahms did meet up a year later. And it was Brahms's, you know, gypsy-influenced Hungarian dances which served as models for the Slavonic dances, you know, not only because of their sophisticated handling of folk traditions, but, you know, also in the ultimate transformation of these pieces from parlor music to orchestral show pieces.
And now, the Hungarian Dance in F-sharp minor by Johannes Brahms and the Slavonic Dance in E minor of Antonín Dvořák.
Thank you.
Archie Chen and Rona Guldsen-Chen in duet with the music of Johannes Brahms and Antonín Dvořák. I asked Archie and Rona about duets. Do you remember when you played your first duet?
I certainly do. I mean, we used to play duets in our house for Thanksgiving, Christmas, every holiday, and all my cousins would get together, and we'd just kind of take turns on the piano and different mixes of different combinations of cousins. So we'd have lots of fun.
Did you have any family duet partners or other students who played with you?
Students. Duets was always on my students' program for the year. And I just love, even with the small ones, just playing along with them. I just think there's something magical about sharing that musical moment with somebody, whether it's your little six-year-old student or a teenager student that's playing something more advanced, or, you know, someone you really love. And I'm playing with your own partner, with your own husband, whom you love. It's just, that's another level altogether. It's just something very, very unique, very special. I feel very lucky.
Let me follow that up with, do you remember the first duet that you guys played together?
Gosh, it's been a long time, but I can remember us being very synchronized the first time we even tried it. It was like we had kind of telepathy. So a lot of times during our rehearsals, we don't really rehearse kind of a lot of the things that you would think that we would need to rehearse, but because a lot of things just kind of fall into place. So we're really lucky like that, where we can have this communication of music that is going down the same road.
Yeah, I imagine that. I mean, there's some obvious things like who turns the page here that had to be worked out. But you were saying before that you do not need to have extensive musical rehearsals, that there's an element to this, which will lead into my last question, I promise. And that is, when you reach the end of a phrase or the end of a piece in the retard, in the slowing down, does that just happen?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I was thinking about this recently, and I don't know, is it also due to us hearing the other person practice? So when we're putting it together, you know, slower pace, sight reading through duets as we do. And so we kind of, as you do when you're learning a piece, you kind of pull it apart. And, you know, so that, you know, Archie would be in the next room and he probably is hearing me, you know, how I'm interpreting. I don't know, there's probably an element of that. And So when we actually then eventually sit down to play together, we just get it, because we're kind of unconsciously listening to one another.
Unconsciously prepped for it. That's good. That's
you know, we're not just meeting up, you know, once a month or whatever, have a rehearsal session. It's something quite different when you live together.
Archie and Rona now play for us the Petite Suite for Piano Four Hands by Claude Debussy, with first a bit of background from Rona that takes us back to the concept of music as bringer of balance to our lives.
So, well, Archie left the score of the Debussy for me during the late summer, when I was getting a little tense ahead of the new school year and feeling a little stressed out and a bit yang. So I've played a lot of Debussy before, including some preludes and the arabesques and the Suite Bergamasque. And the music of Debussy really allows my mind to be free and let all the stresses just melt away. The Petite Suite is beautifully lyrical. It really was the perfect choice for me during these stressful weeks. I think Archie knows me pretty well. So I think it fits well what they call program music in itself, by the fact that it has titles to each movement: Sailing and Boating, the first movement; the second movement, Cortege; Menuet, and Ballet. So the fact that it has those titles built in gives people something to dream about while listening. Actually, as an aside, just for the fun, I suppose to make it even more entertaining and accessible for all kinds of listeners, we did recently produce a version of the Petite Suite, kind of like a fun sensory experience, audio and visual. And we further enhanced it by adding our own video images, which you can find on our Piano Academy of Ireland YouTube channel. It's absolutely not necessary in order to create a musical picture or narrative, as you'll experience today. But it was a lot of fun, and I think people really enjoyed that.
With introductions, here are the four movements of Claude Debussy's Petite Suite.
Sailing or boating includes some beautiful sunny boating scenes. We even had different kinds of boats representing different tonalities in the music. And one can go quite deep into this. But along with the actual music, it really gives people that feeling of being on the water with us. I have to say, that particular movement is beautifully serene. And I received quite a few messages after our YouTube premiere saying from people that they were very moved to tears.
Thank you.
The cortege, which is a type of procession, we enhanced that one by adding some beautiful Washington Forest scenes from all the various hiking that we did during the lockdown. And so along with the wildlife we met during our hikes, that one is also really beautiful. The minuet, well, Archie describes this one as a kind of Viking princess minuet. It has a very elegant and noble melody in the key of A minor and kind of brings us back to our time in Dublin, the medieval Viking city. It has a lot of nostalgia for me, always brings a tear as I remember the homeland. Thank you. And the ballet, as this movement, is just full of fun. It literally makes me giddy when I play this one, depending on the speed we take. So we decided to add some fun games and laughter with the children. And I think everyone who's seen that is very refreshed from that.
Petite Suite for Piano Four Hands by Claude Debussy, played by our Music That Matters guests Archie Chen and Rona Gouldson Chen, here on Spokane Public Radio. In the time remaining tonight, we turn back to Archie Chen's first Music That Matters appearance last October. On that program, he talked about and played Ludwig van Beethoven's Sonata in E-flat, his Opus 31, No. 3. We close and acknowledge Beethoven's 250th birth anniversary this Friday with part of that performance, beginning with the close of the third movement. This is Archie Chen. ¶¶ Archie Chen, recorded in the KPBX Performance Studio, playing the closing of Ludwig van Beethoven's E-flat major piano sonata, his Opus 31, No. 3. My deep thanks to Archie Chen and Rona Gouldson Chen for their great insights and wonderful playing on this program.